Proceed to the fourth case, the United States versus Olinger. Mr. McGowan.
May I please court?
Counsel.
My name is Andrew J. McGowan. I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, and I represent the appellant in this case, Mr. John Olinger. Mr. Olinger appeals two of the district court's rulings that increased his sentence. In the first ruling, the district court increased his criminal history by 3 points for a 1983 conviction. In the second issue is related to an upward departure. Unless the court has questions about the upward departure, I intend to focus today on the 1983 conviction. The 1983 conviction was for molestation of a minor under the age of 14. He was last incarcerated on that October 15th of 1986. The offense of conviction in this case, transmission of an illegal photo, occurred on February 16th of 2002. It's outside the 15-year window that would allow, under other circumstances, a prior conviction to be included in the criminal history calculation. The court found that postings to an internet site were relevant conduct to this transmission of an illegal photograph. And the postings were in October of 2001, early October, which would be within the 15-year limit. My argument is that these postings are not relevant conduct. They're simply information or messages posted to a chat group that did not even specifically request illegal activity. They were just disgusting.
If someone planned to rob a bank and had a meeting and then later on robbed the bank, would that planning process be part of the relevant conduct?
Perhaps. And I think it would depend on how close it was to the actual bank robbery. It would depend on a number of factors that we would have to know the answer to. And I think that's the problem with relevant conduct. I mean, it is very broad. And this court is faced in this case with activity that's on its face legal. It's not pleasant or anything, but it's legal, which wouldn't necessarily prohibit it from being relevant conduct in and of itself. It just makes it a little different than most relevant conduct.
When was the first response after the posting?
Actually, a response from other people that were members of the group were immediate. Many people actually criticized him. However, the agent only learned of him in December of 2001 and only tried to begin contact early in February of 2002. So the actual contact with the agent is outside the 15 years. And I would certainly agree that contact with the agent was relevant conduct. And we don't see that often in cases like this or drug cases either, because the contact doesn't really make any difference to the sentencing guidelines. In this case, it does because of the criminal history 15-year window.
What kind of difference in sentence are you looking at if we would agree with you?
Your Honor, I believe it's a difference of 2 or 3 years. And of course, my other argument actually tries to get rid of an upward departure of a criminal history category too. So I'm looking at the total reduction. I think it's 2 or 3 years.
If we would buy both arguments, except both arguments,
just right. It seems to me if you agree with this argument on 1983, but the upward departure is okay, then that would just leave us where we were without the upper departure, and I think that's more like a year or a year and a half. He maxed out at 30 years, so his guideline range actually was higher than that in the final analysis slightly.
Maxed out, meaning that was as far, he could get versus what actually the calculation would take.
Yeah, he pled out to an offense that had a 30-year maximum, and the guidelines were very close to that in the beginning, but then when the district court upper departed, it did hit that ceiling. And in any event, the case that I've cited, Gable, talks about the outside limits to relevant conduct in a different context, but I think it's applicable to this case because in Gable, the defendant burglarized houses and obtained money through that burglary, and then committed structuring offenses and money laundering offenses. And in a very careful analysis, this court said that, well, the burglaries themselves were not relevant conduct. How he obtained the money was not relevant conduct because it wasn't necessary to prove the elements of either of those offenses. And the analogy I would draw in this case is that his obtaining the illegal photographs would not be relevant conduct under Gable.
Mr. Gowan, what about what appears to be the possible seeking of an accomplice? You know, the enlisting of a female interested in what he's interested in. Do you think that speaks at all to more than just the projection of the image, but rather has a recruitment, if you will, aspect to it?
That's certainly the government's position. And yeah. I don't think it's recruitment for a couple of reasons. You know, it's on the Internet. And I remember a cartoon when the Internet became popular of two dogs in front of a screen. And one dog says to the other, you know, the great thing about the Internet is nobody knows you're a dog. Well, in this case, you're getting postings in a sexual group, a group that talks about sex, probably the most lied about subject known to man. And so you've got postings by somebody who says he's, you know, whatever he says, and there's a picture of him, and it's all relatively, it's very distasteful, but it's not necessarily solicitation because it's not, first of all, he's not specifically asking anybody for anything. He's looking for a woman of age, in fact, who has the same kind of problem that he does. He admits he's a pedo. And I don't think that that's necessarily relevant conduct to his later sending an image to that woman. And in this case, it wasn't a woman either, it was an agent. Especially if that woman doesn't even know he's out there. It's just a sort of a comment, so to speak. So I think that the analogy I'm drawing between getting the photograph, it's not quite the same case that we have here, but it's actually it's closer to the offense of conviction than actually posting these messages and this information. And I would also add that the information, the personal information about him, is not something that you can just look at when you go onto the website.
Is your argument then, if we're clearly within the time frame, or as it is, I guess this is in the time frame, it's not illegal and therefore it should not be considered to be relevant conduct?
No, my argument's not that simple, but I think it's part of it that it's not illegal conduct. That's not the be-all and end-all of it, though. As the government's pointed out, there are a couple of instances where legal conduct. And my other argument, of course, is that the 1983 conviction itself is relevant conduct to his pattern enhancement, and therefore it should not be used to increase his criminal history.
Double counting, so to speak?
Actually, the double, it's not. It's a guideline analysis. Prior sentence does not include relevant conduct. That's what the guidelines say. So we run into this more often in drug cases where you've got you've got a conspiracy that lasts a certain period of time in federal court, and there's a conviction in state court during the conspiracy or a little bit before it, and the amount of drugs in the state court conviction are used in the federal conviction to increase the person's guideline sentence. In those cases, that state conviction isn't used to increase his criminal history. And if there are no further questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. McGowan. Mr. Dowdle?
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Mullen Dowdle. I'm an assistant United States attorney with the U.S. Attorney's Office from the Western District of Wisconsin. Your Honor, in this case, the district court properly included the relevant conduct from October of 2001. What Mr. Olinger did in October of 2001 was create a website or a profile of himself in which he described himself as a trucker pedophile. He said that he truly loves to have sex with children. He also described one of his interests was in trading pictures. And include himself, a picture of himself naked on that website. This conduct was clearly in preparation for the ultimate crime of commission that was committed, which was in February when he transmitted via the internet a picture involving child pornography. Relevant conduct does not have to be illegal. Even Gable, which is relied upon by Mr. Olinger, described in a hypothetical. The offense in that case was a structuring offense. And the court said, this court said, if you open a bank account, which is a perfectly legal activity, but if you open the bank account with the intent to commit a structuring offense, that may be relevant conduct. That's the case this court has before it, where the conduct in October was in preparation for the offense that occurred in February of 2002. So the court did not commit any error by including that relevant conduct, which gets within, as defense counsel concedes, gets it within the 15-year time period for criminal history calculation under Chapter 4. Addressing the issue raised for the first time in Mr. Olinger's reply brief, they seem to, now they're pushing back. The initial brief said irrelevant conduct doesn't even go to October of 2001. Now they're trying to push relevant conduct back to 1981. These are inconsistent positions, one. Two, this is an issue that was never raised in their initial brief to this court. The government has not had an opportunity to brief this issue, and if this court chooses to reach that issue on the merits, we ask the court to allow us to brief that issue in full. Moving beyond the waiver argument, it's simply wrong on the merits. If you look at comment 2 to 2G2.2B4, and have it not cited in the reply brief, that comment specifically says that prior convictions taken into account under subsection B4, which is what we have here, the pattern enhancement, are also counted for purposes of determining criminal history points pursuant to Chapter 4 of the criminal history. The district court did do the pattern enhancement under B4. That's the issue we have here, not the issue that's in Rice. In the reply brief, for the first time they cite to this Rice case from the 10th Circuit, what they ignore is that comment to 2G2.2B4, which is the issue we have here. Rice involved an enhancement for a separate issue, the cross-reference and production of child pornography. This is a pattern enhancement because Mr. Olinger had convictions in 1981. In 1987, there's a read-in in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, in state court involving prior instance of child sexual assault. So the issue in the reply brief is waived, one. Two, it's simply wrong if the court looks at comment two to the pattern enhancement. On the second issue, Your Honor, we argue in our brief that they make the Heartland issue raised for the first time. Again, we think it's plain error analysis. They also raise a double counting argument, also for the first time under Tertian. This is this court reviews for plain error. The district court here went up one point. Mr. Olinger had a criminal history score of 12. The district court specifically, both at the sentencing hearing and its written statement of reasons, said that it was going up from Category 5 to Category 6. Only needed one point. The 1981 conviction alone, which involved sexual assault of two children in California, which, by the way, Mr. Olinger never contested the fact either of his 1981 conviction nor the read-in in the 1987 Eau Claire, Wisconsin incident. Mr. Olinger never challenged the underlying facts that were detailed in the pre-sentence report. So there's been no challenge to the factual basis either for the conviction in 1981 or for the 1987 read-in charge. The district court properly exercises discretion in departing upward one point, one level, one criminal history score level, given the 1981 conviction. In this case, and finally, Your Honor, the government did file a motion to keep a particular document under seal. I'd like to urge the court to keep that particular document under seal. If there are no further questions, I ask that the court affirm the district court in all respects. Thank you, Your Honor.
McGowan, do you have any objection on the request of the government as to that?
No, Your Honor, I'm not.
Sealing. Pardon? Okay. I want to thank you, thank both counsel, and Mr. Gowan, thank you, and the Defender Office in Peoria for accepting this assignment out of Wisconsin.
Thank you.
All right. Case is taken under advisement.